We're going to go ahead and start our class this morning. We're going to be starting in Ezekiel 34. We left off at chapter 33 a couple weeks ago when we had our previous class. Ezekiel 34 is one of the great images in the book of Ezekiel about images recurs often in the book of Ezekiel. God's His people, his sheep, being scattered over the face of the earth and then being gathered together by God. The image we see in Ezekiel 34 is an image that tells us a lot of things about who God is, tells us lots of things about himself, tells us lots of things about what he wants from his relationship with us. A lot of things in this chapter we're going to read today has a lot of things to give us, a lot of things to consider about who God is, what he wants for us. Donna's going to go ahead and lead us in a short time of prayer, and then we'll start our class.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for everything you've blessed us with. Thank you especially for allowing us to be your children. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross and paying the price for our sins. Pray you'll help us to understand the best we can with your help just what a great sacrifice that was. Please be with us at this time. Please help us to learn whatever you want out of your word and put it into practice. Pray that you'll bless Mark as he teaches, that you'll guide him, and that you'll guide all of us. Please help us to learn what you want us to and to do with it what you want us to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We've seen this image often in Ezekiel about God's people being scattered and then gathered. In the era of Ezekiel, this was just took place in a literal sense, a historical sense. The people of Judah were about to be scattered among the nations, be sent into exile in Babylon and other places. And he was promising them that he would gather them back to himself too. We see this a number of times in history, in a literal sense, but it takes a much deeper meaning. This idea of being scattered and then being gathered back to God is one of the deep truths about what God has to do with us. He uses this image of sheep because it really applies to human nature. We're very much like sheep in many different ways. And this image of being scattered and then being gathered back together says things about our tendency as human beings, fallible human beings, weak human beings, to go astray, always leaving the path, always seeking something that isn't good for us, and God has to patiently bring us back, call us back. So the things we're going to read today, it does have a historical meaning with the times of Judah, their return from exile, but also has deep meanings to you and me today. People of any era, any place, any part of the world. These images say things to us too. Just as the deepest images of the scriptures are always talking about eternal truths. When we see things in scriptures, images like Ezekiel, like Isaiah, like Revelation, these books are not about one time and one place. They're not talking about one really bad people, one very bad person, one very dangerous adversary. Talking about human nature in every time and every place. So we're going to read these things in Ezekiel today too. So we'll look at some scriptures about sheep. He uses the image of a shepherd seeking his sheep, gathering them back. That's a common image in the scriptures. Sheep are used many times in scripture as an image for human beings. And we see those scriptures a lot of scriptures in the Bible, especially in Psalms. So we'll take a look at several Psalms later. So I have a little bonus psalm coverage, I guess, today. We'll also see some scriptures, some other books of the Bible, too. Now, just think for a moment. Why does God so often use the image of sheep for his people? And let's say, why does he often so use sheep as an image for you and me? Just to make sure we have it on the right level of discussion. Don?
It fits better than we'd like to think.
It does fit a lot better than we'd like to think it does. So you sum that very, very concisely without getting in danger with anyone. So What are some of the reasons why it sums up our nature so completely, as Don has so accurately described?
We wander off.
We wander off. What provokes us to wander off? What does it take to get us to wander off?
Nothing.
Nothing, exactly. Exactly. It takes nothing to get us wander off. Just peaceful, have plenty of grass in front of us. Oh, look, that looks grass better over there. Wander off. What's that noise? Wonder what it was. Wander off after nothing. Chasing nothing, pursuing the appearances, seeking greener pastures, seeking blind hopes. We're so prone to that. We so fall into that. And one other characteristic about sheep, how strong are they in defending themselves?
Not at all.
They're helpless against us, powerful foes. They have this tendency to be led astray by nothing at all, and they really need a lot of protection. Hence the image of who looks after the sheep?
The shepherd.
The sheep have to have a shepherd. Sheep have to have a shepherd, although they're... What happens to sheep if they don't have a shepherd? They become eaten. They get chewed up by something stronger than they are. And we'll see that in what we're going to read in this chapter 34. We're going to start out by reading the first 10 verses. Norma, can you read the first 6 verses? And Jenny, can you read from there verses 7 to 10?
The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you shepherds of Israel, who only care for yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat curds? Clothe yourself with the wool and slaughter the choice animal, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally, so they are scattered because there was no shepherd, and when they were scattered, they became food for all wild animals. My sheep wandered over the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them.
Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, because my flock lacks a shepherd, and so has been plundered and has become food for all the wild animals, and because my shepherds did not search for my flock, but cared for themselves rather than for my flock, therefore, as shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against the shepherds and will hold them accountable for my flock. I will remove them from tending the flock so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths and it will no longer be food for them.
Thank you. This gives us the first aspect of the nature of being like sheep. What has happened to these sheep? Where are they? They're wandering over all the mountains and every high hill, scattered over all the earth, just wandering wherever something leads them. Every whim they have, they pursue it immediately. Now, as we read this, first impression, how does God feel about these sheep scattered in peril, in danger? How does he feel about these sheep? What do you pick up about this?
He has compassion over them and he loves them. He goes after them.
He has compassion on them.
After all of them, they want them.
He has compassion on them. They've been silly, been foolish, gone astray, but how does God feel toward them?
He still loves them.
He loves them, has compassion. He laments no one's searching for them, no one's looking for them. They're getting eaten, they're falling into pits, they're breaking their legs, there are all these struggles. They need help, so there's no one who can help them, so what does God say? I'll go help them. I'll take care of them myself. He sees the first thing we see going back to the beginning, he addresses the shepherds of this world, this world's shepherds, just in a generic sense, not any particular group of individuals, nothing to accuse anyone, but just says there's a lot of shepherds in this world, a lot of people in this world that want to be your shepherd. They think they have your answers. They want to tell you, if you do it my way, everything will be great, fun, have lots of grass, we'll be good. Some are well-intentioned, others may not be, but in any case, what's the problem with seeking a human as a shepherd or something in this world as shepherd? What's the problem with looking at anything in this world to take care of us, protect us, meet our deep needs? What's the inherent problem with that?
Will lead you astray.
They will lead us astray because they're probably already going astray. If I follow in their footsteps, might not see so good. They lack understanding. They can't explain things that address our deep needs. They don't have what our soul really needs. They can't protect us from the spiritual beasts that are too strong for all of us. We all need to come to seek God's own protection. Take a look at John. We're going to read a couple of scriptures on John 10. John 10 has another image of the sheep and the shepherd. We'll just look at this a couple times. I have a tendency to use John 10 all the time, so we'll have you read a couple of them this time. These are many images of the world's shepherds compared with God, our seeking shepherd. Corinne, you have John 10. You read the verses 11 to 13 for us.
I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep.
We have the shepherd and the hired hand. What does the hired hand do when the wolf attacks the flock? Why does he have to run away? He can't save himself, can't even save the sheep. He's just a hired hand, just works here. He can't do anything to protect these poor sheep. What does a shepherd do? He lays down his own life for them. His life in the way. Think about what this says about, we know our shepherd in John 10 is Jesus. Why is only Jesus able to be our true shepherd from what we see in John 10? Why is he only able to be our shepherd?
He's the only way to God.
Why is he the only way to God?
That's what he says in John 14. He came from God.
He is the only one who can lay down his life to protect us from the spiritual wolves. If one of us tries to impose ourselves between us and these spiritual wolves, what will happen to us? Mm-hmm. We'll get eaten. And we'll serve no purpose. We can't save someone else from their sins. Can't save someone else's soul. Can't redeem anyone else by our lives. There's a psalm that says that in a profound way, Psalm 49. No one can lay his down for life for someone to redeem them for their sins. Human life is precious. You can't give your life to redeem someone else. Only Jesus could do that. He laid down his life in front of the wolf. What did the wolf do to him? Think about this carefully. There's a trick question in here. What happened when Jesus laid down his life between the wolf and the flock? He got eaten, didn't he? His body got eaten. Well, what's the difference between Jesus and the hired hand?
He lays down his life.
Keep reading a little ahead in John 10, what it says about our Jesus. Go back to where Corinne left off. Jordan, can you read, pick up in verse 14 of John 10, and can you read from there through verse 18?
I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. They know me just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I give my life for the sheep. I have no other sheep that I do not belong to the sheep. That do not belong to the sheep pen. I must bring them in. They also will listen to my voice. Then there will be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I give up my life, but I will take it back again. No one takes it from me. I give it up myself. I have the authority to give it up, and I have the authority to take it back again. I received this command from my Father.
Jesus had the authority from his Father to do what?
Lay down his life.
Lay down his life and then pick it back up. He came full of the true life lies only in God. Only Jesus could do that for us. Only Jesus could stand up against the wolves of the spiritual realms. Only he could come to tell us the truths, tell us what we really needed. Only he can explain the needs we really have. Only Jesus can give us the things we really need. So when we follow something else in this world, whether we're looking for greener pastures over there, they might look lush and beautiful, but what are they going to do to our spirits? Nothing. Find something in this world seems like make our lives different, make us feel much better. It's not going to give you any lasting meaning nor any real hope. All these things in this world, they cannot do those things for us. Nothing in this world can meet your deepest needs, can give your life meaning, can give you the things that you really need in your soul. And only Jesus can do that. So we have to keep looking to Jesus. Look to God, because there's only one that can meet our deepest needs. He describes his sheep back in Ezekiel 34. He said that this world's shepherds, they just cared for themselves. Such a vivid image. He says they just wander over all the mountains on every high hill, just to scatter all over the whole earth. So what happened to lead these sheep to become scattered? What did they do? What? Good.
Something lack of leadership for one thing might be sufficient.
And what kind of leadership do they really need? That you're very much on the right track. What kind of leadership do they really need?
They need the leadership of the good shepherd.
They need to remember they're a true shepherd. They can't follow human ways, human thinking, human paths. Have to have true spiritual leadership, just seeking God. Keep your eyes on God. Take a look at Jeremiah 50. Jeremiah 50 is one of the passages in the prophets that talks about his people like sheep. We'll just read one. Just read one verse out of it. Ray, do you have that? Jeremiah 50. Can you read verse 6 for us?
My people have been lost sheep. The shepherds have led them astray, turning them away on the mountains. From mountain to hill they have gone, they have forgotten their fold.
They have been led astray by shepherds. They roamed on the mountains. They forgot. What did they forget? The end of verse 6.
God.
Forgot God. They got their spiritual leader, their true shepherd. How does that describe that in verse 6? They forgot?
Resting place.
What kind of resting place did they forget?
Rest for your soul.
Rest for your soul, exactly. Very good. We'll see that a little while in Psalm 62 tells us about our souls can find rest in God. See, when someone feels restless, someone feels a vague need for something, what happens in our lives? Being sheep, what do we do? Feel, I need something, have to find something, need
after
to be fulfilled.
The wrong thing.
Well, go after the wrong thing. The slightest little whim leads us after something will do nothing at all for us, but we seek it so determinedly for seeking it. What happens to us is like the same thing we saw in these sheep in Ezekiel 34. Mike, go ahead.
I was going to say that the resting place, you know, one sheep does not make a flock. But a combination of sheep make a flock. If they have no resting place, they have no community, they have no congregation. And they have no sense of identity if you're all alone. You don't identify with a flock. And so I think one of the interesting things about it is that, you know, we as sheep need to congregate in order to have that sense of belonging.
Yeah, that comes up to a good question I was going to ask too, exactly what you said, because we just have been talking about, we're just sheep. We can't save each other from these spiritual cereals, so they're too strong for us. can't do anything to be the meanings of someone else's life, can't be the answer for someone else, can't redeem their lives for them. Well, since we're God's sheep, what can we do instead?
Encourage
each other. Look at God. God's where your hope is. Good.
I was going to say, what Mike said is bring him back to the shepherd. You know, help. If a little sheep is going off and he's going to go down a bad hill, you know, maybe the other sheep can grab him and say, come follow me, you know, and get him back with the rest of the group.
Remind that little sheep, you need to call out to God because only God can take you back to him. To reassure each other of the things that God tells us. Reassure our sheep. Sheep get struggling, wandering off. They get found themselves lost and confused. Christian reminded, don't worry. God knows where you are. He knows how to get you. Just remind them. God can do this for you. Reassure people of the things that we learn about God. Pray for this straying sheep. Sometimes we can't do much else for them because sometimes they're straying sheep. They're still pretty strong-willed sometimes for little sheep. Still so determinedly persist seeking their own paths, sometimes all we can do is pray for them. And those are things, though, that's our role as sheep. We saw Ezekiel very recently describe this in a slightly different image. What did we read about in chapter 33? Read it earlier in the book of, read it in chapter 3 and in chapter 33. What image did we see Ezekiel talk about?
Watchmen.
It was called Ezekiel as a watchman. What does a watchman do? Doesn't have to. He can't save anybody. Can't be save a whole village. Can't do anything dramatic. Just watches over. Just says what's going on. That's what a watchman does. As we were just talking about, just remind your sheep, you're lost. Call it to God. If you just stay close to God, He'll take care of you. If you strayed from God, just call on His name. He'll be with you. Just be a watchman. Tell them that God is near. Tell them there's spiritual danger over there. Don't go over there. Don't let yourself be led astray by these false things. That's what he can do as God's sheep, the sheep of his pasture, as we'll read in a little while. So this is what he's calling us to do, not to try to be the one who rescues people. Can't rescue people. We can't even find people sometimes. When you find one of our straying sheep, we're not strong enough to take them back to God. Remind them that their need is always in God above. They always needed God every moment of their lives. Now, when you see in that last part of the scripture he read, he says, I'm going to remove these world shepherds from the flock. I'm going to be their own shepherd now. To remind them, I'm a real shepherd. I'm here, always been here. I'm going to rescue them. How does he describe rescuing them at the end of verse 10? Rescue them from being what? Being food for the beasts. I have to save them from being eaten by the beasts, being eaten by the spiritual foes that were too strong for us. This is what Jesus came to do. He had to fend off these beasts that are too powerful for us. Says this, of course, many scriptures in the New Testament. Take a look at Isaiah, though, because Isaiah says it in a very graphic way, very vivid way. Well, what he did for us. Let's see, Lena's already on to Isaiah 53, so you can read verses 4 to 6 for us.
Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted, but he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities.
This is Jesus coming to the rescue. Comes down from on high, reaches down and saves his sheep. But how does he rescue them? Does this is something, some heroic deed, display his mighty power, strike down all these foes? Does he do something dramatic, vivid to our eyes, come down with a vivid costume, all kinds of sparks flying out for him? Does rescue us in a different way? He had to come down and be, let himself be, what did it have to let happen to him?
Sin.
He had took up our sins. He bore our sins. Had to, be eaten by the wolves like we did. Had to be consumed by them in our place. Had to take our punishment on himself. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's how he rescued us. He took our sins because he was pure, he was holy, he was clean. He took all those things on himself and sacrificed himself for us. None of us could do that. None of us could ever redeem someone else's sins because of our own sins have to be redeemed for. It can never be the answer for someone because we don't have the answers to everyone's questions. Don't have the need. Don't have the things to fulfill someone's deep needs. But Jesus is able to do this. This is why he has to be our only true shepherd. He's the one who cares for us and knows what we really, really need. And then when we come to this next scripture back in Ezekiel, he tells us what he's going to do for us. Vivid images of God being our shepherd, being the one who not just, he doesn't just passively wait for us to come to him. We see God searching for a sheep. Remember what he said in verse 6, his lament, no one search for them, no one look for them. So what does God do? I'm going to look for them. I'm going to search for them. We see this images we come to now. Picking up in verse 11, Mike, can you read for us verse 11 to 16? And Isaac, can you read verses 17 to 24?
This is what the Sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As the shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out of the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel and in the ravines and all the settlements of the land. I will tend to them in good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing grounds. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have and I have them lie down, declares the Lord, Sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. But the sleek and the... And the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice.
I speak with my flock. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. I will judge between one sheep and another, and between rams and goats. Is it not enough for you to feed under the good pasture? Must you also come with a good pasture with your sheep? Is it not enough for you to drink clear water? Must you also muddy the rest with your feet? Must my flock feed on what you have trampled, and drink what you have muddied with your feet? Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says to them. I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you shove with flank and shoulder, button all the weak sheep with your horns until you have driven them away. I will save my flock, and they will no longer be plundered. I will judge between one sheep and another. I will place over them one shepherd, myself to take it, and he will tend them. He will bring them to be the shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God. My servant David, be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken.
Thank you. This scripture tells us about God coming and being the shepherd for a sheep. He's our seeking shepherd. He searches for a sheep, goes out looking for us, as we see vividly portrayed in Jesus himself, of course. We see him looking for a sheep and taking them from the places where they've been scattered, and take them in what he describes as a rich pasture, good grazing land, it takes us to. So at the beginning of what we just read, He himself will search for his sheep. He knows where we are. We've been scattered in many different directions. He's seeking all these different things. As we've been talking about, as we read through Ezekiel, not talking in a literal sense, we're right here, but he says, realizes our hearts have strayed somewhere else. Don't even realize sometimes one of our fellow sheep has strayed, has wandered off. Hard to judge by appearances. Sometimes some of our own sheep have wandered off or something in this world, and we don't even know where they are. We can't even tell the real needs in someone's heart. God does, though. God knows where we strayed. He knows where we've wandered off to. Look how he describes the places where they wandered off to at the end of verse 12. Where is he looking for them? Yeah, the places where they wandered, where they scattered on days of clouds and darkness. They were lost in the clouds, lost in the darkness. That happens to our own fellow sheep sometimes. Their hearts are led astray. They're led astray in darkness and clouds. Often we can't even find them where they really are. God knows where they are, though. He knows how to find his sheep. He knows how to reach out to his sheep wherever they strayed. And God is always able to see what we really need. We look for things that we seek meaning in things of this world, whether it's our own self-will, our own plans, our own desires to have things of this world, accomplishing things, just seeking something external that might fulfill us. Always this leaves us unfulfilled. Have to come back to our resting place. We see this image in Isaiah 59. We see it both sides of this image are being led astray by the darkness and then being brought back with God. Gloria, you can read this couple of scriptures for us in Isaiah 59. Read first for us verses 9 and 10 of Isaiah 59. 9 and 10. We're looking for light, but we find darkness. We look for justice, but we can't find it. Like blind, we grope along the wall. At midday, we stumble as if we're in the middle of the night. That describes what happens when you seek the light in this world's things, something that will give us light, a meaning, a real life. Seeking that fulfillment in a place we'll never find it. Looking for meaning where we'll never find it. Looking for hope where we'll never find it. What should we do at these occasions when we find ourselves stumbling around, groping around? What should we do?
Turn back to God.
Turn back to God. Yeah, look, seek the light. Be an Arctic Tern, seek the light. That's what you have to do. Just remember, I can't find this right here. I think it's in these objects. I can put my hand in these things. They feel tangible, give yourself false security, but there's no hope in them. There's no light in them. I have to look above. That's the only place where we can find the real light. Find the light will lead us back to God. And so, Gloria, go down to verses 15 and 16. This describes, as I saw in Ezekiel 34, how God feels when he sees his sheep struggling, wandering in the darkness. This is how God feels. God, as we just been talking about in Ezekiel, he sees his poor sheep wandering and struggling. No justice, no hope, no light. So he brings it to them. Comes down, works his own salvation by his own arm. His own righteousness sustains him. It comes down, as he read in Isaiah 53, sent Jesus to be the one who could be our true shepherd, rescue us from the places of darkness by, ironically, laying down his own life, just as we saw in the Good Shepherd in the book of John. So, more than just rescuing us, what else do we see the shepherd doing in Ezekiel 34? He rescues us, okay, saved you from the mouth of the wolf, now you're safe. Now, do better this time. Is that what he says? No, because we wouldn't be able to do that. We're not going to be able to do better this time. We're going to wander after something else tomorrow. Says something today, we'll wander off something tomorrow. Maybe in the next minute, we'll wander off after something different. Instead of scolding us, punishing us, what does he do? Brings us back to our own land and feeds us. Feeds us the things we really need. As long as you just follow him, and give us all the things that we really need. He says, I'll bring them into their own land. We see this, of course, him doing this in the Old Testament, bringing his people back to land of Israel. But what is our own land? What's our real land? A real home is with God. As we read in the scripture in Jeremiah, our resting place. That's where we really live, a resting place with God, where our souls can find rest, our spirits can stop this restless pursuit of something else. Psalm 62, we'll take a look over there. Kate, if you have that, can you read the first two verses of Psalm 62 for us? Truly our souls find rest in God. Rest we need from this world's busy voices, things they're telling us, seek this, pursue this, look at that pasture over there, it's better than one you have. Just set aside all those distractions and just realize God has always been a resting place where our souls can find rest. Also, as we have read before, he gives us into spiritual pasture. The image we read in Deuteronomy earlier this year, Deuteronomy 33, describes the blessings he gives to his people. The choicest gifts of the holy mountains, the ancient mountains, brings us the best things of this spiritual pasture. Brings us lots of things. Good grazing land, because it's food that fills what? Our soul. Food that satisfies our souls. Food that really nourishes what's really most important in us. Doesn't feed us lots of just the world's delicacies. Doesn't stuff us full of this world's food. Wants to fill us with his spiritual food, which, as Jesus said, drink his blood, eat his bread, eat his flesh. It's good bread, good blood, because it's going to fulfill you spiritually. You can eat these things and you will not die. You can eat these things, you won't die. Your spirit will never die if you feed on Jesus. Now, after this, we see some reminders to God's sheep. We see him reminding his sheep, now, I've sought you, I've found you. But he says in verse 17, he gives them a caution. What does he say in verse 17? I'll judge you with justice, not by appearances, but he's going to be there to call them to be those sheep he called them to be. As he says in verse 18, is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture? You don't have to trample the rest of your pasture. You have water, you have pasture. Don't trample on it. Don't muddy the waters. We saw that image a couple weeks ago. Who was muddying the waters a couple weeks ago? This is back in chapter 32. Pharaoh of Egypt. Depicted him as a lion who is a monster muddying the waters, churning them up, confusing everything, stomping around, calling attention to himself, trying to confuse everybody with his self-will, his own policies, his own desires. He calls us, don't muddy the waters, just be a sheep. Don't try to be a fierce lion, just be a sheep. God is our portion. We see that often in the Psalms. God is our portion. He has always give us what we really need. Don't have to compete with one another. Don't have to push ourselves forward. Don't have to dominate one another. Don't have to pursue our own paths. Those will always lead us astray, lead us farther from our God. Back in John 10 gives us a very memorable image. What this says to us. Back in John 10. Ray, can you read verses 2 to 5 for us?
John 10, 2 to 5. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers.
These are the sheep that are, these are God's sheep, the sheep of his pasture, as we see him described. What do the sheep have to do? What does he tell them to do?
Listen
to his voice and follow him. There are all these other voices out there. What do we do with those voices?
We flee from them.
Don't recognize those voices. God's voice will always tell us. His voice will always be the voice of truth, the voice of grace. Always see both. Everything God says to us will be full of grace, full of truth. That's the voice of God. The other voices out there, they're going to lead us astray. They're the voices of the false shepherds, the voice of this world. Just listen to his voice. Learn to recognize his voice. Learn to understand what God's voice sounds like. Not harsh condemnation, not false hopes either. Tells us the truth and tells us with grace. It tells us the truths whether we want to hear them or not. Tells them with lots of grace. Whether we listen or not, show us lots and lots of grace. That's the voice of God. Now we come to the last part of this chapter. We'll use a phrase we see often in the book of Ezekiel. It says a number of times Ezekiel, after something he's said, they will know that I am the Lord. Often says this in Ezekiel, they will know that I am the Lord. We know that he is the Lord. But what he's doing is he's showing us who he really is, showing what he's like, how we can tell he is the Lord, our God who cares for us. Pick up in chapter 34. Corinne, can you read from verse 25 to the end of the chapter for us? Back in Ezekiel 34.
Verse
25 to 31.
I will make a covenant of peace with them and rid the land of savage beasts, so that they may live in the wilderness and sleep in the forest of safety. I will make them and the places surrounding my hill a blessing. I will send down showers in season. There will be showers of blessing. The trees will yield their fruit, and the ground will yield its crops. The people will be secure in their land. They will know that I am the Lord when I break the bars of their yoke and rescue them from the hands of those who enslave them. They will no longer be plundered by the nations, nor will wild animals devour them. They will live in safety, and no one will make them afraid. I will provide for them a land renowned for its crops, and they will no longer be victims of famine. In the land of fear, the scorn of the nations. Then they will know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, the Israelites, are my people, declares the sovereign Lord. You are my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, and I am your God, declares the sovereign Lord.
Thank you. Very comforting image of what God does for us. doesn't just save us out of the mouth of a wolf, just let us go on our own once again. Brings us close with him. He shows us who is the Lord, shows us who our Lord is really like. This is the way he really is for us. Lindy, can you look up Isaiah 54, have you read that in just a moment? He tells us all these things he does to show us that he is the Lord. He's a Lord who does all these things for us, that they tell us who he really is, what he really wants to do for us, what he wants, kind of closeness he wants to have with us, the spiritual purpose of his heart that always stands. He makes this covenant of peace with us. Read about this covenant of peace in Isaiah 54, verse 10.
For the mountains may depart and the hills disappear, but even then I will remain loyal to you. My covenant of blessing will never be broken, says the Lord, who has mercy on us, on you.
Either one works well. He makes this everlasting covenant with us, shows his unfailing love to us. What can happen to those? Nothing. He'll never revoke his everlasting covenant of peace. Just purely up to us. If we accept it, we have it. Want to be with him, we have it. His unfailing love for us will never fail. The mountains can fall into sea, the hills can erode and drift away, the world can drift off course, drift away from its orbit and crash into the sun. He'll still always love us. His covenant of peace will always stand. This really tells us about who God is. His covenant of peace is everlasting. Gives us showers of blessing. Showers of blessings, spiritual blessings. He always gives us grace upon grace upon grace. Gives us compassion upon compassion upon compassion. Patiently explains his truths, patiently shares his thoughts with us. Gives us grace upon grace. He's broken the bars of our yoke. The yoke of the world's emptiness, its empty ways. The yoke we put on our own necks when we seek the world's ways, follow the world's futile thinking, seek its own things when we wander off after something. As we read back in Deuteronomy, we put ourselves in these chains. When we seek the things of this world, look for meaning in them, we just put ourselves in chains. Only God can break them away. I have a scripture I don't have time for in Psalm 107 on your outline. It says about how God's, when we call on him, call on his name, he breaks the bars of our yoke, breaks off our chains because of his unfailing love for us. Praise the Lord for his unfailing love. All we can really do when God rescues us, can't really go out and prove, I could have done all right with that. I could have gotten all those chains if I had left for my own devices. I had it under control. We didn't have it under control. We were helpless. And it's good that we realize that. God has always been there to rescue us. I'm going to read you a couple of psalms, and then we'll finish up. He says at the end of the scripture that Corinne read, "You are my sheep, the sheep of my pasture." He's our maker. He made all these things in this world. He's always been faithful to us. Just wants us to be his sheep of his pasture. Doesn't want it to be fierce lions roaming about, muddying the waters, stamping the pasture. Just let him be our portion. Just seek God for who he is. Psalm 95. Read this and then we'll finish with Psalm 23. I'll let you read some of these on your own. Verse 3 in Psalm 95. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. He is the Lord. This is who our Lord is. As we read in verse 1, let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. He's our rock. He's the rock who saves us. He's the one who gives us the things we really need. just wants us to be the sheep of his pasture. Let him give us the things our souls need. Then Psalm 23, one of the very familiar psalms about God as our shepherd. The Lord is our true shepherd. He takes us to green pastures. Even though there's no spiritual food in this world, he finds spiritual pasture for us. In this world, he leads us to quiet waters. Even in the midst of this world's chaos, its confusion, its noise, its business, God is a resting place where he can lead us to quiet waters to give a peace to our spirits. He shows us the right path. God's along the right path. Paths we could never have found. We could never have built paths, the right paths. Comforts us in times of sorrow and fear. And he wants to dwell with us forever. Just read this and let you go. Ponder these images on your own sometime. Think about what it means about this is the Lord. We know that he is the Lord, he is our God. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures, he leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul, he guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you. See you next week.